So as I was driving into the office during the week, I was listening to Gary and Glenn on Downtown Radio. And in between the music, Gary and Glenn tend to chat about what's been going on throughout the week. And so as I was listening to them, they started talking about a news story that happened in Sardinia. I don't know if you've heard it, but basically a Swiss tourist was staying in Sardinia. And she went to this really fancy restaurant that was right beside the ocean with her husband. And so after looking at the menu, she decides that she's going to go for the lobster. But she asks the restaurant to do something really strange. Before they cook it, she wants them to bring out the lobster alive and in a bucket and show it to her before they begin the cooking process. Now, I should add at this point that the lobster came to about 200 euros, or about £175. But I want to ask you a question first. We'll do a what happens next. So what do you think happens next? So I'll give you four choices, and then we'll do a show of hands. So the first one is, do you think once she saw the lobster, she decided to order something else? The second one is, do you think she said, yep, that looks good, I'll take that? The third option is, do you think the husband decided to order one too? He was like, yep, that looks good. Or do you think option four, she asked them if it would get hurt if she took it out of the bucket and threw it away from a height into the sea? So hands up for option one. Option one. Hands up for option two. I think you all know where this is going. Hands up for option three. Hands up for option four. Yes, so if you said option four, you would be correct. The owners were fairly surprised when the Swiss tourist asked, would the lobster get hurt if it was dropped from a height? It's probably not a question many of us ask when we go out to eat, in fairness. And I'd imagine the restaurant owners were fairly confused when they got asked this question. But they said no, they didn't think that it would get hurt. And so after hearing that the lobster would be okay, the Swiss tourist takes the lobster out of the bucket and proceeds to throw it over the barrier beside them into the water, setting it free. The Swiss tourist's love of animals led them to care so much for the lobster that it moved them to action as they set it free. In fact, onlookers pointed out how joyful and happy the Swiss tourist was after setting the lobster free. In fact, even the owners talked about being moved by the love and the joy that the Swiss tourist had shown in setting the lobster free, because her love had moved her to action. And so when we love someone or something, that love usually leads us to action. It causes us not to keep that love to yourself, but it overflows into our lives and into the lives of others. Like, for example, the type of sports team we love, what TV show we're currently watching, or talking about our pets and so much more. We usually love to show that love outwardly and share it with others. And so our motto at Ballywillan is to know Christ and to lovingly make him known to others. And so this morning I want to spend a little bit of time thinking about love in action and how we as a church family can show that love in action to others. And so this morning, before we get to verse 9, at the start of chapter 12, we see Paul moving from describing who God is and his great love to a more practical advice on how we should live for God each day. And so like I said, there's two points that I want to pick up on as we think about this love in action. And that is firstly that we're to be devoted to God, and secondly we're to be devoted to each other. And so firstly, as a church family, we are devoted to God. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. God calls us to place our trust in him and to be devoted to him by how we live, living as living sacrifices who love and care for others and who point them to Jesus. Dwight Moody says, if we've got the true love of God shed abroad in our hearts, we will show it in our lives. We will not have to go up and down the earth proclaiming it. We will show it in everything that we say or do. Before we can be devoted to God and show God's love and offer ourselves as living sacrifices, we first of all have to remember what God has done for us. Because from the very beginning of creation, we see how God has shown his love to us. We see this in how everything was created perfectly and how everything was good that God had made. But then we also see God acting in love as he creates us in his image. In fact, nothing else that God created was created in his image, only us. And so our identity and who we are is found in the fact that we are created in God's image. But the thing is, even though God acts in love by creating the universe and creating us in his image and spending time in the garden with Adam and Eve, we see in Genesis chapter 3 how Adam and Eve mess up and sin enters the world because of their rebellion. And sadly, even today, we don't have to look too far to see the effect of sin and brokenness around us. We continue to see wars and natural disasters. We face scary and life-changing health diagnoses. Or we know someone who's going through a difficult time with their health. And we also see and hear stories of people who are intent on causing hurt and harm to others, and so much more. In fact, the world can be a scary place to live in because of the brokenness around us. But God doesn't leave us there in the brokenness. In fact, as Adam and Eve leave the garden, God shows his love and devotion to us by promising that one of Eve's descendants will be the Messiah who will overcome sin and death once and for all. And throughout the Bible, we see God acting in love as he looks after and cares for his people. He doesn't give up on them, even though God's people turn away from him and go their own way time after time. We see God's love and devotion to his people as he continues to draw them back to him. Then at the start of the New Testament, we see God acts in love once more as his promise to send a Savior is fulfilled through his Son Jesus. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life." God the Father is faithful, and he shows love in action as he sends his Son Jesus into the world. And we see through Jesus that he lives a life devoted to the Father, and he gives us an amazing example to follow as we are devoted to God. Because as Jesus came to earth as a baby born in a manger, he lived on earth and experienced all the ups and downs of life. He taught people about God's kingdom. He loved and cared for those who were sick and in need and lost. He lived a sinless life and then gave his life on the cross and rose again so that our sin could be taken away and our relationship with God could be made new. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that God loves us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So the hope we have and the reason we can be devoted to God is found in God's love and his promise that through faith in Jesus, this life is not the end. And that a time is coming where God will make everything new. And there will be no more sin, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more sadness. And we will be together with God in heaven. And so to be devoted to God means placing our trust in him and to know the love that he has for us as we devote our lives to him each day as living sacrifices. It means putting him first daily and trusting the Holy Spirit each day to guide us. It means drawing near to him and experiencing his presence, his peace and joy as we face each new day. It's trusting that he is our salvation and our security and that he is our daily portion and strength. And so we show devotion to God by how we live. We show it by reading our Bibles and looking to go deeper in our relationship with God. We show up by praying and handing our lives over to God and trusting that God is working out his plan in love. And we show it by continuing to meet together and encouraging each other and building each other up. Which leads us on to our second point, being devoted to each other with the love that God gives us. Throughout the passage that David read for us, Paul keeps on building on God's love in verse 9 and how it's to be shown in our lives and in community. In fact, between verses 9 and 13, there are 13 different commands as to how we should show God's love in action. R.C. Sproul says, in the New Testament, love is more of a verb than a noun. It has more to do with acting than with feeling. The call to love is not so much a call to a certain state of feeling. It is a call to a quality of action. We are called to show God's love by our actions. And so Paul starts off in verse 9 by saying, firstly, our love should be sincere and hating what is evil and clinging to what is good. As we journey through life together, God's love is to be the mark that people recognize us by. It is to be real, loving each other with a sacrificial love that looks to build up each other and encourage. But this love doesn't begin with us, but rather it is fueled by the love from God to us. We have the perfect example to follow in Jesus, who lived the perfect sinless life and showed God's love to those around him. And so when we read through the Gospels, it's hard to miss just how much Jesus loved people. But that's not because he's constantly telling everyone he loves them. We see it in how he treats people and the way he talks to them, especially those people that were considered outcasts and not accepted in first century society. Verse 10 then says that our love shouldn't just be sincere, but we are to be devoted to each other in love or in brotherly love, honouring one another above ourselves. Now, I wonder, can anyone remember back to 2012? Apparently this was over 10 years ago. But Coca-Cola had started a campaign to encourage us to think of each other called Share a Coke. And so basically, if you went into any retail store that sold fizzy drinks or anything, you saw a whole list of Cokes that had Share a Coke with Chris, Share a Coke with Margaret, Share a Coke with any other name of 250 of the top favourite names. It encouraged us to think of each other and to find our friends' names and actually to go and share a bottle of Coke with them. And so time and time again, there was lots of stories of people looking out for each other's names and sharing a bottle of Coke with each other. It was something simple that they could do, but they did it to share love and to share a bottle of Coke with others. Although I don't know about you, I did this for the first wee while. But then after a while, I found it nice looking for my own name and being like, oh, this is great, I'll just keep this one. Because when am I ever going to have my own name on another bottle of Coke? So maybe it had the wrong effect for some people in terms of we wanted to find our own name. But God's love transforms us, and it transforms our relationship with people around us. And so we need God to help us to live each day. But the thing as well is we need each other. And so as followers of Jesus, we're called to love one another. Just like Jesus tells the disciples in John chapter 13, verse 34, where we are to continue looking out for others and putting their needs above ours. But if we're really honest at times, loving one another can be hard. Because of sin, we get caught up in arguments and jealousy and fights. Because of sin, we can default to selfishness and wanting to win. The thing is, love doesn't naturally fit. It's something that we have to work at, and it's something that we need God's help to do. And so we have to work hard to love each other and to try and live at peace with each other. Seeing each other with the same love that God has for us and letting go of the jealousy, the arguments, and the negativity. Verse 11 then tells us that we're to be devoted to each other, that we should never be lacking in zeal, but keep our spiritual fervour. So firstly, we need God's help through the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us to keep our spiritual fervor. And as we journey in community, one of the ways that we can be devoted to each other is encouraging each other to hold on to God's word and to pray together for each other. We can build each other up through reading God's word together, praying together, and encouraging each other. And so one of the things, if you haven't joined a Bible study or a prayer time, we'd love you to prayerfully consider joining one of those. They're a fantastic way of journeying together in life and through encouraging each other in a loving community. Verse 12 then reminds us to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And so at the heart of these three commands is the reference to hope and our confident Christian expectation of Jesus' return and the glory that will follow after this. As we live in faithful community, we're called to hold on to the source of lasting joy. But it also means that we need to have patience as meanwhile we endure difficulties and hardships that life has to throw at us as we persevere in prayer. And then verse 13 says that as part of a faithful community, we're to share with those who are in need and practice hospitality. As a church, there are so many ways that we show God's love by helping those in need and by showing hospitality. In fact, many times they are not seen but happen under the radar. And so our call is to keep going with this, to keep looking for those opportunities to help those in need, and to keep supporting each other and praying for each other and asking God to show us those opportunities that we can help and support those in need. We can show God's love in action as we love and care for those around us in practical ways and by continuing to help those who need it most, even by letting them know that they're not alone and that you're there for them if they need anything. We can help by just even being a listening ear when someone is having a rough day, or helping someone to go to an appointment. And there are so many other ways that we can treat people with honour and respect as we help them, including but not limited to encouraging each other over the WhatsApp groups, by phoning each other, by texting each other, or in person as we meet together. We are to continue to love each other as we help and serve each other. But then Paul finishes this part of his message in a rather striking way. He says, instead of letting the negative things continue to happen, Paul encourages us to break the cycle and to replace the negative with a positive. Instead of cursing, we're to bless. Instead of retaliating, we're to do what is right. And as far as we can, live in peace with each other. We're not to be overcome by evil, but we are to overcome evil with good. I think you'll all agree what a broad picture of Christian love Paul has given us in our passage this morning. It shows that love is sincere, it is discerning, it is affectionate, and it is respectful. It is both enthusiastic and patient, both generous and hospitable, both compassionate and sympathetic. It is a love that is marked by both harmony and humility. And so as we continue in the vacancy, let us continue to hold fast to our mission statement, as we trust that God will hold us fast. And let us continue to grow deeper in our relationship with Christ as we lovingly make him known through our actions and our love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing love which you have shown to us through Jesus. We pray that you would help us to show your love each day wherever you have placed us, as we trust in you for guidance and strength. May you help us to continue to love others sincerely and be devoted to one another, helping and supporting each other in whatever way we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.